If you are like me, you like to be thanked. You appreciate it when others notice what you have done and comment on it in a positive way. We appreciate that. In fact, we feel perhaps slighted when there is no gratitude, particularly if we've gone kind of over and above or beyond what was expected. Though some of us want to be thanked for just doing our work. I have friends that down in Maryland, when they got hired, the boss looked at them and said, "Look, I'm not a person who gives a lot of accolades. You get thanked every month. It's called your paycheck." They just understood the environment in which they were going to work. He was not going to come in and tell them, attaboy, thank you, good job, whatever. That's just who he was. And they had to adjust themselves to that. But for the most part, we like to be thanked. It's just kind of who we are. We like that. We teach our children to say thank you, right? You've been taught that? No? Okay. You've been taught to say thank you? Okay. And for even like mundane things, when you get ice cream, what do you say? Thank you. For getting any kind of help, thank you. Thank you for bringing your dish from the table. Thank you for a gift. You go to a wedding and you take a gift. Later on, you probably expect to receive a thank you note. Gratitude. It deepens love. It expresses my love in gratitude, and the person who is being thanked receives that love. The acknowledgement of good work, the acknowledgement of that relationship, gratitude deepens love. So expressing thanks to God is of paramount importance. We must thank Him. But not that kind of must. It should be the overflow of our heart. Because the expression of gratitude to God is a chief means by which we glorify Him and enjoy Him. And so the psalmist says this. Psalm 92. I know we've sung it, but now let me read it to you. A psalm, a song for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, Elyon, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know. The fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You've poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. This week, the students from TFY, Theological Foundations for Youth, discovered that I think the word good is a weak word. My senior high school students at Trinity also quickly discover that when I survey the room, how was your weekend? And I get the word good back, I say, give me something else. Good is weak. Because it's all encompassing. How did you sleep? Good. How's the food? Good. How was your day? Good. How are you? I'm good. That's weak. That tells us nothing. How did you sleep? Other than maybe on your back. What you mean is, I had restful sleep. That's what good sleep means. It means restful. What is good food? Well, it could be healthy food, but usually when we say it's good, we're talking about how it tastes. So it's tasty. How was your day? If it was good, what do we mean? Well, no accidents. Or it was fruitful, it was productive. I had success. How are you? I'm good. It means I'm healthy. I'm happy. I'm whole. So verse 1, it's good to give thanks to the Lord. What does it mean? It's pleasant. It's beautiful. It's delightful. It's appropriate. It's the morally right thing to do. It is right to give thanks and to sing praises. It is always right to give thanks and to sing praises. And we should give thanks. It's good to do that always. In every circumstance. How much more on the Sabbath day? Here's a psalm that's given to us. It's written for use, particularly on the Sabbath day. A day set aside from the others, where we rest from our work and have time for more focused worship, to reflect on who God is and what He has done. It's appropriate to give thanks on all the days, how much more on this day? And so we do. And here's a song, because not only does gratitude deepen affection and love, poetry and song deepen meaning. So we use poetic language, and that's found in this psalm. You get a word picture. You see it in a new way. So we take up song. Maybe some of you are poets and it comes easy to you. And you fell in love and you wrote a poem. And from where I sit, if you're really good, you wrote a song. Not only the poem, but also the music. And you get caught up in that. So here's the psalmist caught up in giving thanks and praise to God, and he's taken immediately to poetry and to song. It's right and appropriate. It is always right to give thanks because the Lord is God. We are completely dependent upon him for everything. Every breath that we take. Our waking up. You can set an alarm clock, but if the Lord doesn't wake you up, you're not waking up. And he does that in his mercy and his grace every day. We're dependent upon him for our food, the tasty food and the bland food. And we give him thanks. We are dependent upon him for our safety and for our healing, for our restoration. We're dependent upon him for the sunrise and the sunset. What do you have? What have you experienced that has not first been given to you? How did you come into the world? Naked and helpless. How are you leaving? Same way. You're going to take with you what you brought. So we are dependent. And in our dependency, it is good and right and appropriate and beautiful and delightful to give thanks and to praise the Lord who sustains us. And that's the indictment in Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 21. The indictment that mankind refused to give thanks. They refused to honor the Creator. And it's that that began to move them into their hardness of heart, their futility of thinking, and so forth. They refused to acknowledge God. But the psalmist here particularly highlights two attributes of God. We heard them in Exodus. We've already sung of them. But this steadfast love, God's chesed, and emun, his faithfulness. And they often appear together. So when the Lord reveals his name to Moses in our call to worship, he is a God abounding in chesed, loving kindness, and in faithfulness, emun. These are beautiful words. Loving kindness. You want that in your family relationships. Loving kindness. You want love expressed in kindness. Love is other-oriented, and kindness is simply we do things graciously. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love and kindness. And this is who God is, and he highlights this. It's a wonderful word. We've discussed it before as a congregation in my preaching. It has to do with loyalty to his covenant, loyalty to keeping his word. All of these things are bound up in that. Which is why it fits with faithfulness then. Because God keeps his word. He's reliable. His word is firm. He's loving. And he's faithful. And it is right then to give thanks and to praise him. And because he is God, the whole creation works as it does day after day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. I don't really know anyone who goes to bed at night worried that the sun is not coming up tomorrow. That somehow through the night, the creation is going to unravel. And we shouldn't, because God is faithful. And as long as the earth remains, he says, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, night and day will not cease. When I was growing up, when I was in high school and then in college, the big fear was nuclear winter. That things were going to get so cold that our life would not be sustainable, that there would be a nuclear holocaust and life couldn't be sustained and so forth. We're on the other end of that now. Now the issue is it's going to get too hot. But the Lord said otherwise. And he's faithful to maintain his creation. Doesn't mean there may not be some suffering in places, and there is. But he maintains the creation. Nothing is happening apart from who he is and what he does. But even apart from that, if simply it was that God is, I am who I am, that would be enough reason right there to give thanks and praise him. Because he is. Moses hears that name proclaimed, and what does he do? He bows in worship. He is worthy. But there's more, because this psalm, the psalmist is captured by the works of God. The singer reflects on and is made glad by the works of the Lord. And since this is a song for the Sabbath, we rest because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and then he rested. And so we rest, and we follow his example. And we have a day given by which we can rest from our works to just kind of absorb what we see around us. So when you look at the creation, what do you see? What's that? God's handiwork. Absolutely. Do you see the product of time and chance? Or do you see the incomparable, majestic work of the Creator? You walk under trees. You look at the heavens. You look at your hand. You look at a baby. And what do you see? The infinite power of God. The infinite wisdom of God. The infinite goodness of God. His love and his knowledge. My social media feed periodically has images from the James Webb Telescope. Those images are absolutely stunning. And if you haven't yet seen those, go look. Just Google images from the James Webb Telescope. They are breathtaking. But you know, so are Jenny Ah's photos that she takes when she's out on a hike of the flower that's F-L-O-W-E-R. Beautiful in its intricacy. And that's what the psalmist sees. Your works made me glad. We should give thanks and praise to God for his work of creation. But he didn't simply call the creation into being by the word of his power in the space of 6 days and then kind of let it go, as some believe. But he wisely governs and preserves all things all the time. He's numbered our days, and he manages them. He fixes the stars, and he manages them. He raises up governments, and he puts down governments. So whether it's in Sri Lanka, or in Russia, or Ukraine, or United States, it's all under his governance. The climate, the heat, the cold, all of it. Not a single sparrow falls to the ground without his say-so. The success and the fruitfulness that you might experience in your day is managed by the Lord, as also is your loss and suffering. We call them accidents. They're providences. And all of them come about by His will. God is a most excellent manager, a most excellent governor, because He is upright. That's where the psalm will end. He is upright. There is no wrong in Him. There is no injustice in His oversight and administration. Though you might think there is. Job perhaps had reason to question it, and he does. And 2 years ago, was it already 2 years ago? We had a teaching through Job to unpack that. But even there we said, there's no injustice. So we praise Him. And we thank Him because all things work together for your good. Do you believe that? That He works all things for your good, for your ultimate good? If you doubt that, well, consider the other reason for the Sabbath from Deuteronomy chapter 5. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The work of redemption. There's the work of creation. There's the work of providence, and that special work of providence, the work of redemption. He brings Israel out of Egypt, and He has brought us out of sin. What greater work is there than the Son of God who came into the world that through Him the world might be saved? Such love. By this we know what love is. By this we know what chesed is. That the Son of God humbled Himself, taking the form of a servant, and became obedient even unto death. While we were still in our sins, that's when Jesus died for you and me. When we were helpless and hapless, foolish and frustrated, malicious and mean, hating and hated by others, that's when the goodness and loving kindness of our Savior appeared. And He saved us according to His mercy. It is most appropriate. It is most agreeable. It is right to give thanks and praise our God. And we do that knowing that God will do right. So into Psalm 92 now comes the wicked. And God will do right, even when it looks as if the wicked have the upper hand. And so often it seems that they do. In fact, that's one of the complaints throughout the book of Psalms. Why do the wicked seem to prosper? But right here, the psalmist says, they don't even see their own future. They don't understand the thoughts of God. They don't understand that while they may flourish, they are like grass. And they flourish in the morning and they are cut down at the end of the day. Because for this they were destined. They are doomed to destruction forever. Their understanding can't match that of the Lord's. And the Lord likes to do surprising things. He turns things on their heads. David versus Goliath. Who's supposed to win that fight? Who's supposed to win? Yeah, the warrior. Say, man, if you're betting, man, you bet on Goliath every time. The Lord says, no. I'm going to defeat the greatest warrior that the Philistines can put forth with a young shepherd, a teenager. That's just funny. And then he does the same thing in the New Testament, where he takes the most horrible means of execution, from which we get the word excruciating, a most shameful means of death and humiliation, the cross, and he turns it from shame to glory, from weakness to power. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. The wicked don't get it. They think they're all that. But as vessels of wrath, they have been prepared for destruction. And so the enemies of the Lord will perish. They will be scattered. They will amount to nothing. So even in the midst of dealing with the wicked, we can give thanks. We don't necessarily give thanks for the wicked, but we can give thanks in those circumstances because we know that God's justice wins in the end. Therefore, we don't have to take our own vengeance. We can wait. We leave it in the hands of God. We need not fret, but rather we give thanks in every circumstance. Compared to the wicked like grass, what about the righteous? Those who are loved by the Lord, who walk by faith, they also flourish. But not like grass, like trees, like palm trees and cedars. They are full of vitality. They are stately and sturdy and strong. Even to old age, they bear fruit and testify to the Lord's justice because for this they were destined. If the wicked are destined to destruction, the righteous are destined to proclaim this praise of God. And I don't know, maybe, do the owls have a theme verse? Well, it might be this, verse 15. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. For those of you who don't know, we have a group of older saints. They have been planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God, and they are bearing fruit in their old age, full of sap and green. And they took the name owls, older, wiser, lively still. Still modifies lively, in case you were wondering. They are still lively. They are still flourishing. They are still bearing fruit. And I look at those saints and say, I want to be like that when I'm of their age. We have models of this in our congregation. And they are lovely to behold. They keep inviting me, and I'm thinking, I don't count. I'm not old yet to go to that group. I first think that, but I'm thinking, no, I don't measure up. And they are there to give praise. And then I thought, well, think about the praise that rolls on into eternity. Because our life here ends, but our life there does not. Think of the glorious praise in eternity when we've entered into that everlasting rest, eternally glorifying and enjoying the Lord in all of His loving kindness and His mercy. How glorious will that be? And then in this psalm, we hear the voice of our Savior, Jesus, who Himself is the agent of creation, the Word by which all things were made. He delights in the creation. His horn was exalted. He was anointed with the Spirit as with oil. He flourishes forever in the heavenly courts. And because He flourishes, we, united by faith to Him, we also flourish. We in Him and He in us, if we abide in Him, if we rest in His loving kindness, if we rest on His faithfulness, if we rest in His accomplished work of redemption. If that is what you are doing today, the promise is for you. You will flourish. You will bear fruit, even into old age and into eternity. But if not, you are like the wicked. Like grass destined for destruction. And the word to you today is, give thanks. Turn to the Lord by faith. Repent of what you know to be wrong, and seek the Lord while He may be found. The Bible says, give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. The Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances. So from here on out, give thanks. Because it is good and it is right to give thanks to the Lord and to praise His name. Lord, we bless You today. We thank You for Your chesed, for Your loving kindness. We thank You for Your emun, Your faithfulness, Your truth, Your wisdom, Your power, Your glory. We bless You because You are God, and You have created all things, and You sustain all things, and You have come into the world to redeem all things, that the creation might be restored, and we with it. And we rest in You. Lord, we thank You for Your justice. We thank You for Your righteousness. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your good governance. Oh, Lord, fill our hearts with gratitude. And if there are any here that have not given themselves to praising and thanking You and acknowledging Your worthiness, turn them now. Warm up that cold heart. Revive them. Call them that they might turn from destruction to life. And Lord, may each of us be like this stately tree, the stately cedar, the fruitful palm. And we declare together that You are our rock. There is no wrong in You. We bless You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.